All right, we're going to go ahead and call the Senate Judiciary Committee back to order. As you remember, for those who are here this morning, we started at 8:30 with four bills that we had. If I'm not, or is that right? Four bills or three bills? Three bills. And we are back with two bills. We're waiting for paperwork and also to give people an opportunity to review the amendments that came in on the. I got to get back to where we were at. I don't have my. Let's see, we got 2597 and then it was 3047A. So why don't we go ahead and start with open up a work session on House Bill 3047A. And Whitney, remind us of what we have there.
Yes, thank you, Chair Brazanza, members of the committee. House Bill 3047 was previously heard on May 25th. It deals with an exemption to the crime of weaponized unmanned aircraft system. We have the Dash A-10, which did several things, including incorporating the HB 3049 about harassment drones over private property. And then it creates some elevated offenses for when people use a drone to actually use a projectile. And then it specifies the exemption for that offense applies to non-recreational users with a $1 million liability insurance policy.
All right, and that's the A-10s.
Correct, and it has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right. So, colleagues, we recessed this bill for this afternoon so everyone have an opportunity to go through the A-10s. So I'm going to ask Senator Thatcher for a motion on the A-10s, then we'll open up for discussion.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash A-10 amendments to House Bill 3047A.
Senator Thatcher moves the A-10 amendments into House Bill 3047A. With that, opening up for discussion, Senator Lithcomb first.
This morning we were looking at the A-10s and we had a lengthy discussion over intentionally, knowingly, recklessly annoying your neighbor, and we covered that extensively. Aaron Knott had a precision-packed dialogue with us, and it was excellent, and I wanted to make sure that you know, got on the legislative record. I have in front of me a transcription of that, and what I was wondering about getting this transcribed, maybe from counsel, if not from my staff, to have it attributed to Aaron as he thought that it was appropriate. It says, harass and annoy will be read conjunctively with a mental state, meaning you must intend to harass, intend to knowingly annoy, recklessly harass, or recklessly annoy. And that was written precisely to avoid subjectivity in annoyance. This isn't just a how-to, if you wake up in the morning and you annoy me, and he goes on from there. I would like that to get captured and entered into OLIS if we can, just to make sure for future reference, this is how this legislative body intends, since intention is a key part of our mental state, intends this to be reviewed, understood, and analyzed.
Yeah, Senator Lithcomb, your wish is my command. It has already happened. It happened this morning when Aaron actually gave us his statement. It actually came up, and it's actually part of the record. I am more than willing. I expect that I will be carrying the bill. If you'd like to joint carry the bill to do that, or if you want to stand up and say that, or I can put that into my remarks, either way. But the reality, even if he doesn't want to deny it today, this afternoon, he said it this morning, and he's here right now with the thumbs up. So.
Yeah.
All right, and appreciate you bringing that forward. And yeah, that gives the clarity, and it will, in fact, provide for the certainty of what we intend on how this should be carried out and what the expectations from the legislature.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments or discussion on the motion to adopt the A-10s? Not Senator.
No, I just want to say I think the A-10s are a real improvement on this measure, and they both deal with they clarify the projectile issue, I think, and. You know, really open up the use of drones for, you know, where I think they're promising and appropriate in some of these agricultural applications, forestry. You know, in my role as chair of the Environment and Natural Resources, I've been exposed to some of that work, and I think it's really going to help in our agriculture and firefighting. And so I see that as a real step forward. But, you know, also, I want to say that I also really appreciate the annoyance and harassment section as well, because I hear from people a lot concern about drones that are, you know, just annoying them, and they feel deliberately. And, you know, it's true that you could perhaps go after them under existing statutes, but as we heard, that's pretty hard and indirect. And this, you know, finally has the other advantage of sending out a message that this is not how this equipment should be used. So I think it has that value as well. So I'm very supportive of it.
All right. Thank you. Senator Thatcher.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if there were existing statutes that would cover it. And I did find what I was kind of vaguely referring to this morning, and it was in House Bill 4066 from 2016. And I had a conversation earlier with Whitney where there was a section added to the crime of, I don't remember how it was phrased. It was like a
invasion
of personal privacy, yeah. But I think that mostly applied to things other than being in your own backyard. So I was suggesting that perhaps we will be, I'm sure, looking at this in future sessions, because I think this is an issue that's going to be evolving yearly, and we'll be having to address something. I don't know if this will get at it, this particular bill, but it does, like previous speaker said, it gets at sending a message that we don't want people harassing people in their backyards. But hopefully we can zone in on this a little bit better as we you know, make it a little more refined as we move along in this technology.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be continued work. This is definitely an area, and you know, it's ironic when you have something that's, let's say, new on the, I hate to say horizon, but something that is on the horizon that's now basically part of our culture and life as to how we're going to implement and ensure public safety, as well as ensuring that people are not having an unwelcome presence where they're not desired to be, and not be able to do things that just because they now have a toy, if not a tool, depending on who has it, and using it in a way that was not, you know, truly intended to in our culture. So we'll continue to see additional work. I know that the work group that we have established since 2013 will definitely be continuing, and we'll be making adjustments and modifications as we get through this. Any of the comments are on the A-10s? All right, not seeing any others, anyone objecting to the adoption of the A-10s into House Bill 3047A? Not seeing any, so ordered. Senator Thatcher.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3047A as amended with the A-10s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher now moves House Bill 3047A to the floor as amended by the A-10s with a due pass recommendation. A discussion. Senator Manning?
As previously stated earlier today, I will cannot support this bill. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence.
All right, thank you. Any other comments or statements? All right, with that, besides Senator Manning, is there anyone else objecting to the motion? Not seeing any, motion passes. Chair will carry 3047A as amended by the A-10s to the floor with that due pass recommendation. And with that, we'll go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 3047A, and we'll open up our last work session for the day on House Bill 2597A. And Whitney?
Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. You previously heard House Bill 2597A on May 24th. It deals with distracted driving. You now have the dash A20 amendment, which does several things. It defines driving. It also makes exceptions to this an affirmative defense. and it removes an exemption for vehicle owned or contracted by a utility. It adds affirmative defense for amateur radio operators while summoned to medical or other emergency help. It makes the third or subsequent conviction within 10 years a Class B misdemeanor subject to a mandatory minimum fine of $2,000. There is an indeterminate fiscal impact and a revenue impact.
All right. So I think what I'm going to ask for is the motion on the A20s. We'll open it up for discussion there and also take in, I'd like to make some comments on the A21s as we talk, because I know that just came up before we started this afternoon. So, Senator Thatcher, will you make that motion?
For the sake of discussion, I will make the motion. Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash A20 amendment to House Bill 2597A.
All right, Senator Thatcher, for the purpose of discussion, has moved the adoption of the A20s into House Bill 2597A. All right, with that, let's go ahead and open it up for discussion. I think prior to starting this afternoon, Senator Lithgow asked if I had seen the A21s, which he had requested, that were put together, I assume, yesterday and received and posted, timely posted. And I have now had a chance to look at them. I've also had a chance to ask Whitney to review them with me as to what the differences were or what the A21s actually call for. And Whitney, do you want to do that or do you want me to put it on?
I can do it. All right. Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. The A21 looks to me the difference is that it adds a line regarding what it means to be these to commit this offense, and it does an exception for including dialing a telephone number or touching the device to answer a telephone call. And so it's just currently there is a position about language in the bill and in the dash 20 about being able to touch a device to activate or deactivate a function. So this adds an addition to that, dialing a telephone number or touching the device to answer a telephone call.
If I may also add to the record, it also, under Section 5A, for a person's first conviction, it allows a person to complete at their own expense a distracted driving avoidance course, provide proof positive to the court, and the court, quote, may schedule a hearing to determine whether they successfully pass that, because the A20 has shall impose a minimum fine of $2,000, which is a big whop in the head. And so what I wanted to do was simply provide alternatives there where an individual, you can imagine an individual from one of those classes of individuals who can't come up with $2,000 on the fly, give them the opportunity to attend driving school, as we commonly call it, and get a reduced sentence.
Yeah. So, Senator Lithgow, that provision that's in the A21s is actually the exact same provision that's also in the A20s. The way the drafting for A21 was done, they basically restated what was in part of the A20. So if you turn to page 7 of the A20s, starting on line 8 and going down to line 24, I think you'll find the exact same language included in the A20s.
And if I may, just for one other point of clarification, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, the $2,000 minimum fine mentioned in the dash 20, that is only for when it's sentenced as a B misdemeanor. So that would be on the third conviction within a 10-year period. You're sentenced as a B misdemeanor, and you're imposed with the $2,000 mandatory minimum fine, and you would not be eligible for the distracted driving class since that's for the first offense.
Yeah. So the first offense, first two offenses are actually violations. As Whitney has stated, on the first one, it would be a Class B violation. You would, in fact, have the opportunity to do the diversion-type class or the education class, and if on successful completion of that, then it's not going to expunge it out because they need to be able to track, but you would be able to not have the actual conviction against you, but there's still the timing of the 10 years. And so within that 10-year period, if you have a second offense, then that would be charged as a Class A violation, which would mean subject to a higher fine than the Class B. And then at that point, if, again, within that same 10-year period, you have a third incident, then at that point, you're now into the position of a crime where the court would, in fact, have a minimum fine imposed and would also, could add in other sanctions that the court deemed appropriate. All right. Any other comments? Senator Manning.
I do. I'm trying to, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to, between the 820 and the 13th one that we have, what are the significant differences between the two? If staff can perhaps help me out.
Yes, there's a lot of similarities, Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, Senator Manning, between the A13 and the A20. The essential differences are it elevates the offense, as was just discussed. So in the dash A13, it remains at the violation level, as the underlying bill does. So the dash A20 has that elevation for the third offense within 10 years for it to be a B misdemeanor. It also, for the exceptions to the offenses, changes those to an affirmative defense, which is different from the dash 13. It also has a definition of driving that is not in the A13. So we tried to expand upon the conduct in this statute for what kind of actions of driving would be prohibited. And then the dash A13, so HB 2597 had an exemption for some FCC radio operators that was limited to emergency or medical situations. The dash A13 removes that language so that it's a complete exemption, whereas our dash A20 keeps it at the limited to the medical and emergency exemptions for medical emergency purposes.
Right. And I think the other part is that if it's a unit that is permanently installed into the vehicle, this new change or this statute would not apply. And so it's basically we're trying to address the mobile units, not the permanent units. And so for those who have that qualification and exemption, they actually have an outright exemption where the law would not apply if it's a permanently installed device. If it's not permanently installed, they would fall into the same category as other users, but they would have the potential of a defense based on whether or not they were using it at the time for emergency purposes, or that phrase, and at the time that they were operating that unit.
So the A13 or the dash 13 provides specific language that exempted ham radio operators and
for any reason
and trucking. So what we've done is to dial it back then. A20.
The A20s in the handheld area, yes, but I'm not sure if the 13s already had the built-in exclusion or exemption based on the mobile unit not being mobile and having a fixed unit. So I'm not sure if that was modified by the 20s or if that was already in the base bill.
I think that was already there. And just to split up the kind of amateur radios from the truckers, the language between the 13 and the 20 for the truckers is the exact same, except for in the 20 it says affirmative defense, whereas in the 13 it says exception. And then the difference between the ham radios in the 13 and the 20 is, again, that same thing with the affirmative, and then adding the language about emergency or medical exemption. But, yes, it's correct. When you're looking at any ham radios, if they're built in, much like your car radio, if you go to Radio Shack and buy a radio and have it permanently installed, doesn't fall within the definition used here.
Okay, so if there's, you're able to like key a mic or something like that in order to speak, or is that prohibited from there on? It just has to be voice activated.
Thank you, Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee. Senator Manning, so I know there's different types of these amateur radios, so it can get a little complex. If it's the device is built into the vehicle, then this statute doesn't apply with how it has defined the applicable conduct. So then if they can do whatever they want with their handheld device. Yes. If it is one that I've heard that sometimes they have devices, amateur radios that can be taken in and out of a vehicle, or we heard some a little bit in the work group about how they now even have kind of like wireless ones, those would then fall within the statute and they would need to either be, the statute allows people to touch an electronic device to activate or deactivate a function, so they could be doing that. Or if they are doing more than that, they would have the affirmative defense if it's a medical a medical emergency.
So can I do one follow-up then? So if I had a ham radio and I have a rack installed in my vehicle and I mounted in that rack, then I'm still able at the end of the day to pull it out. Would that be a violation of this?
It would be captured by this statute because it would be classified as a mobile device because it's not permanently installed. It'd be very similar to what I expect that you're going to continue to see people using and what people will need to use with a cell phone. They will have to have, as some people call it, a cradle or something to hold the phone. It still doesn't mean that they can that they're prohibited from activating or deactivating it. But they fall under the confines of what the A20s provide for, as to trying to, again, keep people where the language basically says, for hand-free accessory means an attachment or built-in feature for or an addition to a mobile electronic device that, when used, gives the person the ability to keep both hands on the steering wheel. And so what I expect is that some individuals who may not currently have some type of porting, basing, cradle system will incorporate that in for their mobile device that's handheld, and that they, you know, at that point will still be able to, as stated, will use a mobile device, electronic device, let's see, to uses a mobile electronic device for any purposes, then it says this section does not apply to the person who activates or deactivates a mobile electronic device or a function of the device.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, I'm a little confused now then, because at one point we're saying that if it's not permanently installed in the vehicle, which means that you have the ability to pull it out, that would not be considered as, once it's fixed mounted. Well, with the cell phone, I'm understanding now that if you place a cell phone in a mounted rack, which is not a permanent built-in, there are two different things, so it would apply to one and not the other.
No. If you have, I think the key here, can the unit, whatever you're talking about, either a CB unit or a cell phone, at the end of the day, when you get out of your rig, can you just pull it out and take it with you? Or does it stay fixed in the vehicle?
Right.
That's what you have to go on. If it's fixed and onto the vehicle, this statute will not even apply. If it is a mobile electronic device, then you have the different criteria that the A20s would be addressing that you need to comply with.
So can I follow up?
Sure.
So, you know, the difference between the fixed and the non-fixed, what exactly is the rationale behind that distinction? You know, I mean, why are we making that distinction? The key issue is whether or not you're holding a mic, right?
I think, and Whitney, please help, I believe this came in conjunction with how it's defined in the federal system as to the units being fixed or not.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. A lot of our language did come in working with the federal government and some of their regulations. And then I think it was to just distinguish it from something that you can have and take in and out of your car, like a cell phone versus a hands-free device, and what is normally in a vehicle.
Senator Lethicombe. The
cell phones often come with, but you can buy a third-party device that would allow you to snap it to your dash. Mm-hmm. There's no need to snap it to your dash if there's a built-in one that looks exactly the same and provides the same services. We're making a distinction that one is very different from the other, and I'm calling them both the same. I don't see a difference between me using a snap-in device to hold my phone and me taking my phone with me and having my phone, you know, drilled into the core of my dash with a nine-penny, you know, screw.
Right. The issue, though, is that if it's permanently fixed to your dashboard, you're more than likely are not going to be trying to put your ear up against it, where if it's a mobile device, it has the ability to actually be put into someone's hand and put up to the ear, where you're now not doing what we're wanting everyone to do, and that is to have the ability to keep both hands on the steering wheel.
So the ability, the word to hold is now a key part of this. And if you look for what the definition of hold is, you get a whole slew of items specifically to bear, sustain, support, as with the hands or on the arms or by other means. And so if I had the cell phone to my arm or I had an electronic device, all of a sudden now I'm not sure which way we're going to hop.
Or skip or jump.
Yeah, right, right. We haven't dealt with any of those verbs yet.
Or drive.
Right. Okay.
Well, you see the problems that we're burning into legislative, heart and soul.
I don't know if I'd go to the heart and soul. That seems to be a little bit more close than I would want it to be. But, that's an opinion as to this. This is what we have as to what we're attempting to do, is trying to get better compliance based on all of the testimony we have as to distracted driving. What is the end result of someone that is distracted driving? And the use of a cell phone has been actually demonstrated that the distraction is as great, if not greater, than someone being under the influence of intoxicants. And the reality is explaining it to a loved one, to an individual who's lost a loved one because someone blew through an intersection while they're on their telephone, is pretty difficult to do.
Chair Prezzonzi, members of the committee, I did just want to follow up a little bit. And you'll see on page 2, line 14, when it has the prohibition for holding the device, it says holding the device in the person's hand. So it is, I think, clearer with having that word hand that it wouldn't mean against the arm. And so I just wanted to provide that clarification.
Yeah. So, again, if you look at that, on that again, page 2, lines 14, besides that, or uses a mobile device, mobile electronic device for any purpose. So, basically, that's the capture of how a person commits the offense. And then we have the disclaimer there that it doesn't apply so long as the person is only activating, deactivating the device or a function of the device.
Where's that?
So I think you may be safe. You may be safe on having it on your wrist. I'm not sure.
With the or clause, is a wide open or clause or electronic device for any purpose.
Right.
Well, that includes this device.
And not to keep interrupting, there is a definition. It's not exclusive, an exhaustive definition, but there is a definition of using a mobile electronic device. So I think you have to read that in conjunction with uses and that you're referring to after the or. And that definition is on page 2, lines 6 through 9.
Yeah. So, again, just for the record, this would be sub D under section 1. And on the amendment that we have before us, it starts on, as Whitney says, line 6, as to what the using of an electronic device that's being considered for this statute. Senator Manning.
Mr. Chair, I do agree that we have to have laws that enforce the use of distracted driving, cell phones, and other devices that may distract the driver from doing that. But the more we dwell into this, and I become more confused because, as to what actually would be a violation, it's okay if you had to buy the vehicle with the mount already there. So what actually constitute the mount? If I have a radio and I put it on a rack in my vehicle, and then I'm able to take out the rack, that same radio, then I would be in violation because it's not a permanent fixture of the vehicle. But it's okay if I have my cell phone and I buy a mount and I can put it on there and I can push a button to answer the phone, and then I can take my cell phone with me when I leave. That's not a violation.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. I understand that it's a large statute, and so it can get complex. Just to clarify, when we made that reference about the permanently installed, that's just a complete, that means the statute doesn't apply to those people. The hands-free accessory still would. So somebody who is able to take their ham radio or amateur radio in and out of the vehicle every night, the device that they hook it onto, just like a device with their cell phone, those are all still hands-free accessories. And so that separate exemption, in addition to the exemption they already have in the Dash 20 for ham radios, is still there, regardless of whether it's an amateur radio or anything. So if they put it in their hands-free accessory, there is an exemption for that if you're over 18 or over.
Now I'm confused again.
let me ask. So again, going back to, so when we think of ham radios, we think of somebody holding a microphone in their hand. Is that allowable under this statute for just, say, truck-to-truck communication, or is it only limited to emergency-type communication? That is, that exemption for where you can have a hand off the wheel in order to hold a microphone.
Well, with the hands-free accessory, it does require the hands-free accessory to allow you to be able to, and it uses the phrase, the ability to keep both hands on the steering wheel. We phrased it with the ability to keep both hands on the steering wheel so that it wasn't, as opposed to the original language of maintaining both hands on the steering wheel, to have, an indication that a person isn't somehow required under this statute to have both hands on the wheel at all times.
So I think what you're saying is if it's a fifth Tuesday and a blue moon and you hop up and down three times before you get in your car, then maybe it'll not apply. Right. I'm confused, too.
Right. Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, Vice Chair Thatcher. So how it works is if you have an electronic device that is not permanently installed in your vehicle, there you cannot use that device while you are driving. And then the exceptions are if you have a hands-free accessory, which can be, like my vehicle has a touch screen and it connects with my cell phone and I can make phone calls. I can't make phone calls from my car without my cell phone, but if they're both in there, I could touch the screen really quick and hit dial. And so here, if you're in your car and you have a hands-free accessory for your mobile electronic device and you're over 18, then 18 or older, then you are exempted from this statute. You can't sit there and then, type a text message on your cell phone because it's attached to a hands-free accessory, because then you're not keeping your hands on the wheel. You're just sending text messages, but touching briefly to activate or deactivate a function is allowed, and then there goes into other exceptions for the truckers and the ham radios. But moving aside those kind of specific exceptions, if you're driving with a mobile electronic device, there is an exception for everyone if they're using their hands-free accessory, and their hands-free accessory allows them to keep both hands on the wheel.
So the back to the ham radio operators using the microphone, they would be caught up in the law here, in violation.
They could be in violation depending on why they're using it. I mean, if they're just chit-chatting like the woman who came before us and said she sometimes just talks to people when she's driving on a handheld, she would be held up. I mean, this would the statute would apply. But if she was calling for emergency help for medical or other emergencies, she would be protected through the affirmative defense. I mean, the reality is, are we serious or not serious about trying to get people to change their conduct that is causing injuries and deaths because people are distracted to the point where they're not having both hands on the wheel, they're not looking at forward, and the result is, as I said, issues of people being in accidents, people being seriously hurt or killed, or less seriously hurt.
Senator Manning. Mr. Chair, you know, again, I notice this is the right thing to do. I would look back over the years when CBs came in, truckers were CBing down the road, and I don't remember a lot of crashes because they had a handheld key mic and stuff, so that's been going on for years. I would feel real good if this, if we had a behold that was before us that says absolutely no texting or no playing games or no whatever with your mobile phone or so and so and so and so. I would feel really comfortable with that because that would be exactly what we are trying to get at. With all the amendments now is that I think that we are, first off, I'm confused because for years, truckers, over-the-road truckers have used CBs, and there was not a lot of crashes or anything like that. There's never been distracted driving. And it seems like this bill is trying to fix a problem that in some areas that was never there before. As a police officer, when I was on patrol, I had a mic that I keyed in. We say, okay, well, we'll exempt the police officers and fire departments and things like that. I believe that we have to do something, but, you know, absolutely no texting, no playing games or things like that with your mobile, handheld mobile device. I think that I would support that within a heartbeat.
I'm going to ask you to look at, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a recess. We're going to be back here at 3:15. All right, we're coming back out at recess. Thank you, everyone, for giving us an opportunity. What we are going to do is I'm going to ask first for Senator Thatcher. You have made a motion on the A-20s, and I'm wondering if you'd be so kind to
withdraw
or rescind.
Happily. Mr. Chair, I withdraw my motion to adopt the A-20 amendments to House Bill 2597A.
All right. Senator Thatcher is withdrawing her motion to adopt the A-20s and House Bill 2597A. With that, at this point, we have no motion before us. I would entertain a motion to move House Bill 2597A to the Senate Rules Committee.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2597A to the Rules Committee without recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2597A to the Rules Committee without any recommendation. Discussion? Any objections to the motion? So ordered. So at this point, House Bill 2597A is on its way to the Rules Committee in the Senate. The chair will be continuing to work with the chair of the Rules Committee to work on language to clarify the confusion that we apparently have within our committee and try to clarify those outstanding issues so we can actually move this forward and to the Senate floor and then back to the House. So any other comments? If not, we're concluded for the work that we have as a policy committee in the sense of standing down for that work, unless for some unknown reason the president reactivates us for that purpose, but we will be doing some different informational hearings. And please remember, this next week we have one or two of the, or have both of them?
We have two. Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. If I'm remembering my dates right, we have June 6th, starting at 8:15 at the Marion County Jail will be the tour, and that should last about an hour. And then for those who want to stay, we can then go over to the Marion County Court Annex, which is right next door. You can just walk over to watch their court proceedings and do a Q&A for about 30 minutes. So if things go according to plan, we should be done with everything at about 9:45 for everyone to be back in time for caucus at 10 a.m. And then on June 8th, starting at 2 p.m. at Coffee Creek, we have that tour with the Department of Corrections. That should end at about 4:30 p.m.
All right, that sounds great. So thank you for the update. And for all those who have been in attendance, thank you very much, not only for today, but over the course of the session. And that we will, in fact, be seeing, I believe, House Bill 2597A coming out of the Rules Committee at some point before the end of the session. Thank you very much. And again, I think I've already did that. We are adjourned. I think I've already did that. We are adjourned.